Bom dia. That was terrible. I did have a como está there. That was at least good. Who did a como está for me? Thank you. Come on, Duncan, man. You said that your church would give me a good response there, eh? If any missionary guy hoys something at you that sounds really strange, just throw it back at him. You hope that he's saying hello and that you will say hello back. So we're going to try it again. I'm going to bon dia. Just bon dia me back. Bon dia. Much better. And yes, as a missions boyki, it's just a thing that we get to be in different places, and your team is going to Mozambique. And so it's wonderful to be able to greet as a good, true Mozambican in Bondia. Duncan, thanks so much for having me. Church, thank you so much for having me over here as well. I know I've got this jolly microphone. I don't often work with this thing, and I often know, and if I start to tweak it over here, it's known as the automatic nose picker. You know, it just starts to move a little bit until it's there. It's getting some stuff, so I would recommend, there we go. I would recommend that you just wipe things off when you get back here, Duncan. But it is really great for me to be back here. And in fact, the last time that I was on this stage, I was on WOW Team. And WOW Team 91. Who was here in WOW Team 91 years? Whew, a number of people. Well, I was here, and it's so good to be back in your midst. In Durban North. And so, Duncan, it really is wonderful for me to be able to come and share here this morning. But I do, Duncan, I reflect back on our days as well, you know. And church, that was a long, long time ago. No, a long, long time ago that Duncan and I were at college, eh? And it's so long ago that I had to go through some of my photos, and I found a photo of us while we were at college, eh? And so here it is. It was that long ago. We didn't have cameras. Duncan, I think I'm the dude on the left. I don't know if you're the dude on the right. So you had really long arms over and bunny ears. I don't know. Hey, it's just super cool. But yes, Duncan, just great to be able to continue a friendship and to be able to minister together. And you're right. For the last few years, I've actually been our base. Our office has been up in Johannesburg for 3D Outreach. And it's wonderful for us to be back in Natal. I did my university in Natal. And so it actually feels like I'm coming back home. It's amazing how I've sort of tried to adapt to the temperatures. And so the other day in Richards Bay, we had a really cold day of about 51, you know. You know those type of temperatures, and Joburg is sweltering, and we say, whoo, such a nice day, it's wonderful. But yeah, I've come from a missions background. I thought I would just share a little bit of a missions hearts and share some of the stories of what we have been involved in missions organization. So at the moment, I'm associate pastor up in Richards Bay, and the church have been very gracious to be able to allow me to continue with 3D Outreach on the sideline, and so we are still coming alongside missionaries and being a support and resource to them. And that's the sum total of who and what we are as an organization. And so I'd love to share a couple of those stories to you of what we've been doing, because most times it's not us as an organization that's reaching out to the missionary, but actually it's the body of Christ that are coming alongside the missionary and saying, what can we do for you? How can we help you? And so here's a great picture, and one of my first trips actually was to be able to go to Gus, and just before I went to Gus, I said, hey Gus, what are you needing? How can we help you? And he said, well, at the moment, he's cycling to the local village, which is 25 kilometers away, and then cycling back home, 50 k's a day. For him, Tour de France is nothing. And he said, please, try and find a motorbike for him. He says, they have an XL fives there in Mozambique, but they're really not in a good state. And so here in South Africa, I went looking online, seeing, whew, can we find something? I didn't find a lack of motorbike for him, but I found a Christian businessman that owned a motorbike shop. And this guy donated Gus a brand new bike. It changed his life just because one businessman was obedient to God to be able to say, how can I help? What can I be doing for God? We also went up to Malawi, and this over there you can see is a typical Yao village. And we said to those missionaries, he said, same thing, what can we do for you? How can we help you? And they said, well, actually at that stage, which is happening again presently, they're going through incredible droughts, and therefore the local people are starving to death. He said at that stage the local people were plucking the leaves off the trees so their kids could eat every second day. Disaster. Crisis. He said, actually, please, we are trying to be able to gather 90 tons of maize a month to keep these people alive. How do we expect this one missionary in the middle of the bush to be able to find 90 tons of maize? But the reality is that we can. We, as the body of Christ. And so we reach out together. This is a great picture of a short-term missions trip. And so this may even be a picture of what your team is going to look like when they come back from Mozambique. And many people say, short-term mission trips, they really don't do anything. Please, don't even worry about the spiritual aspect of it. But this trip, all they went to do was to help build the pastor's church over there. And we say it was just a practical thing. All they needed to do was lay bricks. But I tell you, this was an incredibly spiritual moment for them. As on the one side of the church, while they were literally laying bricks, there was a Sangoma writing curses in the wet cement. On the other side of the church, there was a traditional healer that was literally spitting at them while they laying the bricks. Don't tell me that this is not a spiritual experience. And so while your team is going off to Mozambique, please be praying for them, because this is a drastically important task as we come alongside them to be able to reach out to the lost. But it's this picture that I really want to be able to look at. I hope there are no traffic cops in the house at the moment, because this picture I took when the Soccer World Cup was happening here in South Africa. A great experience, but I tell you, I know very little about soccer. Dare I say, I know nothing. Nothing about soccer. The one thing that I do know about soccer is that you've got to get this round ball to the other side of the field and kick it into the net so that you can score a goal. Woohoo! But that's about it. I'm just not a soccer guy. And so this particular occasion, I was driving down from Joburg to East London for a missions conference, and it was the opening match. I don't know if you can remember it. Bafana Bafana were playing in the opening match. What a great day. And I thought, even though I don't know anything about soccer, I better be listening to it. So I was listening on my radio to this match. I need to remind you, I know nothing about soccer. But as they were playing, I was getting so excited to be able to hear, whoa, as the commentator was saying, they're getting closer to the net. And the next minute, they scored a goal. It was so incredible. Now, it was really tough because at the same time, I'm driving down there. I'm trying to take a photo of the super cool sunset that's going on next to me. And suddenly, they score a goal. And I'm so excited, so emotional. I'm almost weeping because it's such a great moment. But the reality is that I knew one thing. I knew one thing. That you just need to get this ball into the net. And so here today, all I want to be talking about is do what you know. Do what you know. If I'm here to talk about missions, reaching out to the lost, maybe it's just such a scary thing for you to even to be able to conceptualize reaching out to the lost. Maybe you think, no, Rolf, please don't get me to talk to people. I just can't do it. You know, the crowds of the people, I just am so petrified. Maybe on the opposite extreme, you say, please, Lord, don't send me to some weird place, some weird land where I'm going to have to be all on my own and eat strange stuff. And so I love this quote over here, and it says, a man of God is a person who holds God and man in one thought at one time, at all times, who suffers harm done to others. Greatest passion is compassion. Whose greatest passion is compassion. Whose greatest strength is love and defiance of despair. I want to just hone in on this little passage over there where it says the greatest passion is compassion. And actually, if I were to be able to think about us as believers, compassion and love, I think as we become believers, is planted inside here so that this is something like slipping on a banana skin. This is doing what we know because it's inside of us. It's a natural thing which needs to be coming out. And so do what you know. If you do have your Bible, it's Matthew chapter 9. I don't know if anyone has a Bible, grab it up. I'm not going to put it up on the screen. I will read it for you. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. I know in college, Duncan, they told us we need to give lots of time to let people get there, get the passage. And so it's Matthew chapter 9, but after Matthew chapter 8. It's just before Matthew chapter 10. Whew, that's it. Excellent. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And this is what it reads. Jesus went through towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out into his harvest field. Here we have an amazing passage of Jesus looking out across the crowd and showing compassion. And if we are wanting to be a people of compassion, doing what we know, I think the first thing that we need to be looking at is following Jesus' example and being people of action. Being people of action. I don't know about you, but life is complex enough. And there are many times where I don't know what to do. And so I come back to Jesus' example. And right over here, Jesus is giving us a phenomenal example. Jesus, what am I meant to do in life? How am I to act? What am I meant to be doing? Jesus is our example. And when I look at Jesus over here, Jesus was definitely not the guy to sort of sit on the wayside. Yeah, everything's looking great over here. No. Jesus was a man of action. In fact, look at some of the verby words that are being spoken over here. He went through all the towns, proclaiming the good news, healing every disease and sickness. Jesus didn't sit around. He was busy all the time. And there was lots going on. I love the aspect that it even talks about towns and villages. The big places and the small places. Jesus was concerned about the little guy. Jesus was concerned just about you and me. Made me even think about Zacchaeus when they were walking through the town and he saw little Zacchaeus up in the tree. Hey, Zacchaeus, come, we're going to go and eat. He's concerned about everyone, every single one of us. So, Jesus' example. In fact, I think it takes us that we need to be majorly involved. We need to be majorly involved in what's going on in reaching out to the lost, If you are not involved right here in this church, maybe it's time for you to get involved. Maybe it's time to be able to get up off the chair and start to be able to come to Duncan and say, hey, Duncan, what can I do right here in this church? Can I come on the missions trip? Can I help with serving over here? It's time for us to get involved and be active. I'm sure you've even been heard about, especially here in Durban, to be able to move a big ship. It's best for the ship to be moving. And so we need to be moving. We need to be doing what God is wanting us to do. And if you're not too sure what it is, get involved in something. Get involved in something. And if the Lord moves you to something else, then that's fine. But get involved. Be people of action. And I'd probably say whether it's here in our church, whether it's in our community and you get involved in things in our community, if it's at schools and you say, I need to have a voice of what's going on in my school, what videos, what teaching is showing to my children, get involved so that we can be known as people action. Let's talk about this word of care of compassion. Because it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. If I can use my poetic license, it's like he was walking and he walked over a koppie and there were all the people. And he was moved with compassion. I first need to tell you what compassion is. And I know a little bit of Greek. I don't know how good your Greek is, Duncan. I know a little bit of Greek. And this word that they use over here of compassion is splicnizoume. Splicnizoume. It's an incredible word where we in our English get the word to splice. Where in the farmers, if they want to be able to have a peach tree from this peach tree and a peach tree from this tree, and they cut a V in this tree and they cut a little branch from this one, and they put it in that V and they have some special sticky tape. I don't know if they spit on it at that point. And they take that branch and it is spliced into that tree. So they get a special kind of peach. It is joined with that tree. And that's where this word of compassion comes from. Splicnizoume. What on earth? A strange thing of splicing. But this compassion is not just a compassion of, ah, shame, eh? Hey, it's a shame, man. This compassion of splicnizoume is way, way more than that. In fact, as that branch comes and becomes part of the tree, it starts to drink the same sap, the same nutrients, and it is starting to feel and be one with that tree. That's the compassion that we're talking about. That when we walk around our community, when we walk into the villages that I showed over here, over there, that it is that we start to feel, that we start to be one, we start to be with the people, feel with the people, feel like what they are. And then we can have compassion. Why do we need to be talking about compassion? Why are we even having compassion here in this passage? And I need to illustrate that with this. And I told you I'm now in Richards Bay, so we've been back in Natal for just over a year. But in Joburg, there is no sea. Oh, just surprise, surprise, eh? And so for entertainment, we had to do different things to be able to keep ourselves entertained. And so this was one of those things where the one day our young adult group said, no, we're going to take with a speedboat. And the one guy said, no, we've got this blow up banana thing. And what we do, we blow the banana thing up and then we drag it behind the speedboats around one of our local dams. And so it was. We went to the Witbank Dam. And there we were. The guy had this seriously zooped up boat. Four of us jumped on the back of this banana thing and held on like crazy while he went da, 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 across the dam. And it was fantastic. I tell you, it was awesome. Until of them fell off. And it left me as the only guy on this banana thing. And the guy driving the boat didn't care that I was the only one. All he did was put foot even faster. So the banana thing, bouncing across the thing, and I'm shouting on the banana, stop, help, dear life. I'm saying, please, please stop this thing. That's just what happened on the banana and the speedboat and going down the dam. But in reality, in life, that is happening on a daily basis. A daily basis. Many of us, maybe even us over here, are holding on to life for dear life, shouting, help! Stop! I think that the more that we are shouting, I think the more the devil just loves to be able to put the pressure on, just shove something else in our way. While I was on that banana driving or riding on my own over there, I wish that I could be released from this stupid thing and someone would come with big scissors and cut the rope between the banana and the speedboat. And the reality is that it's the same thing in life. Many times we are holding on for dear life and we are shouting, help, stop, please. Someone just come with big scissors. Free me from this ha that's happening. The amazing thing is that Jesus has come with big scissors and he's cut this rope that ties us to the devil. And he says, come, I want to give you freedom, total freedom. And my prayer here is if you haven't received that freedom, the amazing thing that Jesus has done that we've been celebrating for Easter, come and chat to your leadership and say, whoa, today I want to be free, free from the stuff that's going on in life. Perhaps you say, but where? Where's all this trouble that you are talking about, Rolf? What on earth is it? So maybe I can just read a couple things over here of what is going on in life. Because maybe sometimes it's so nice and it's lack and it's comfortable to be able to be here in Durban, and yet there's lots of stuff that's happening in the world that isn't good. But here when it talks about thirst. A human being cannot live more than a few days without water. It composes 90% of your blood, 80% of your brain, 75% of your flesh, and 25% of your bones. And yet 1.1 billion people in the world lack access to clean water. 1.1 billion. Hunger for nearly two every three people alive today. Hunger is not merely an occasional pang felt before lunchtime. It is a lifestyle. 750 million people are chronically undernourished today. Just look at disease. One of the most reliable gauges of health status in a country is the measures of life expectancy. The average life expectancy in developing lands is 15 to 25 years less than in developed countries. And what does it actually say in the passage? It says, he looked on the people with compassion because they were harassed and helpless. Harassed. Helpless. Maybe you say those type of things, those stats, those figures are not part of here in South Africa, but maybe there are other things. Maybe it is even that we have got such a crisis happening here in South Africa that our parents are not able to spend time with their children. Harassed and helpless. Maybe as much as happening in Richards Bay at the moment, jobs are an absolute crisis. Harassed and helpless.
maybe even here for you today. Your future is looking bleak, harassed, and helpless. Maybe here this morning, you are just needing the Lord to come and cut with big scissors. Say, Lord Jesus, come and help me. These perhaps are practical things. And so let's just talk on a spiritual level of what's happening around in the world. And so let's perhaps take that there are 7 billion people in the world. There are more. There are more. But let's just pretend that there are that. So we've got all those people. Let's cut off a whole lot of zeros so that it's just simplifying where we're at. Of those 7,000 people, so I've just taken off a whole lot of zeros. Of those 7,000 people, only 2,200 would be Christians today, helpless and harassed. For those 2,200 people, there would only be 5 churches. And for those 5 churches, there are only 6 full-time workers, and one of those full-time workers only gives 2 hours and 10 minutes of his day to the church. Helpless and harassed. I look at this picture. It's a terrible picture, but have a look on the top left little corner over there. It says, dedicated Christians at the moment, we only have 11.2%. in the world at the moment, helpless and harassed. And so Jesus finally turns to the people. And as we look at this passage on doing what we know, we have to be people of action. We have to be people of compassion. And finally, Jesus faces us with this reality. And so he asks the question. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Actually, he's coming here to be able to say, what, disciples, what are we going to do? We're in crisis. We're in crisis. And what are we going to do? The thing is that he comes and he answers the question. And the answer is here. The answer is here. The answer is us. The answer is us as the body of Christ. So Jesus says, how are we going to do this? It's not just Duncan. It's not just the staff of the church. It's not just the missionaries. It is us. Us as the body of Christ. I want to wrap up with this picture and then I will play a quick video clip. It's just a quick one afterwards. This is one of my saddest photos I think I've ever taken. I took this when I was in Indonesia. I went to Indonesia for 2.5 months in my 4th year of college. And I took this photo in one of the biggest mosques in the area where we went to go and work in. And you can have a look. It's the father teaching his little boyki to pray in a Muslim way. Look at those little feet. He can't be more than 4 years old. And that little boyki is going to a lost eternity unless one of us go and tells him about the Lord. And so the challenge is there for us. Do what you know. Being people of action, compassion, and facing the reality of what God has given us. Watch the little video clip, and then we'll pray afterwards. pray together. Lord, we just want to thank you for this time that you can challenge us again. That you can just challenge us to be able to look at what we have in our hands, what we as people are able to do. Lord, even for us right here in Durban, may you open our eyes to be able to do what is natural to us. To be able to reach out, to be people of action. To be people of compassion as we face the reality that we are here. And so we say, Lord, use our hands, use our feet, open our eyes. Send us where you are wanting us to go. Help us to speak. Help us to give Jesus so many people that are desperate, that are in crisis at the moment. So Lord, challenge us. Help us not to walk out of here. Perhaps unless we've spoken, unless we've put our name down and said, hey, next time you're needing someone, call me. So Lord, thank you for this challenge. I commit it to you in Jesus' name.